Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
Well, we've had a full day now, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
And I hope you can still think a little bit before retiring to sleep as we think a little bit on our subject for this evening. Who did we begin studying about yesterday?
Joseph.
You know, the book of Genesis is almost, not quite, but almost half about Joseph. Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's the father of the Jewish nation. But there's more time spent in the book of Genesis on Joseph than either Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. Do you think God wants us to know something about Joseph? And last night we looked at something about Joseph. What type of man was Joseph from what we looked at last night? He was a young man. He was participated with the occupation of his father and his brothers of herding sheep. He was his father's favorite. All right, he was his brother's hated. He became a slave. All of that's true. We read a verse in Psalm 105. And it says about Joseph that he was sent by God. Joseph was not just a favored son. He was chosen. He was a sent young man. And I believe, I don't just believe, I know, that God has a plan for each of us here. And each one of us, like Joseph, are to be sent young men and young women. But I want to look at another aspect tonight. And the aspect of Joseph's life that I want to look at tonight is probably the most important aspect of Joseph. Because if this had not have happened to Joseph, most likely the tremendous account of Joseph's life, the tremendous testimony that he has given, would not have been recorded. Did Joseph grow up in a home that knew the true faith? Jacob, his father, had longed for the spiritual blessing. Joseph, as a young man, before he was a young man, as they came back to Canaan, the Bible tells us where they came to. It says they came to Mamre, and you know whose tents it says were there? Isaac's tents were there. Now, can you imagine? Isaac would have been, at that point, well over 150, if I'm not mistaken. I think closer to 160. But for a number of years, when Joseph was growing up, his tents were there of his family, and there were his father Isaac's tents as well. Now, how many here like stories? I imagine every one of us likes stories, don't we? Can you imagine the stories that Joseph could have heard on grandfather Isaac's knee? I can imagine Joseph going over to his grandfather and saying, "Can you tell me about when you went up with your father Abraham to Mount Moriah?" Can you imagine hearing that story from Isaac? Isaac's firsthand account of how they traveled up there and then how he was placed on the altar. And he thought that was the end. And God provided a lamb. Do you suppose Isaac might have had some commentary to go along to explain a little bit about what that meant? Do you suppose that Joseph knew about the ladder that his father saw connecting heaven and earth? Or what about, do you think that Joseph ever heard the story of when his father was coming back? Joseph could perhaps even have remembered this story. And Jacob begins to wrestle with this unknown assailant. And it turns out to be the angel of the Lord. Would those have been some tremendous stories to grow up on? They still are tremendous stories, aren't they? But imagine hearing it firsthand from those that lived it. Joseph knew the true faith. He knew the faith of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And what's more than that, you remember, this was one of the things that began to cause problems in the household. What did Joseph begin to have? Dreams, didn't he? Now, where did these dreams come from? Did these dreams come from eating too much for supper? No? Where did these dreams come from? From God. Joseph was given dreams from God. And I imagine that those dreams, in the midst of Joseph's many setbacks, that those dreams were a great encouragement and help to him. But we see a picture of a young man that knew the true faith. That had visited that his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his father had all been called by God for a special work. A young man that had been privileged by God with dreams. But still, something was lacking. What was lacking? Let me ask it a different way. Can we know the true faith from beginning to end? Can our parents be faithful believers and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and however far back you want to go? And it still not become our own personal faith? Can that happen to us? We can grow up with it. We can believe it. We can know it. But that does not mean that it is ours yet. And it seems to me, as I look at the life of Joseph, that that was his experience. He was blessed by God. He was a very spiritual young man. And he had the truth around him, and he absorbed it by osmosis. But on that fateful day, as Joseph is taken by his brothers, as he is sold as a slave. Now, we don't know what was going through Joseph's mind, but we do know where Joseph had come from. We do know where he was. And we do know the route that he most likely took. You remember I said it took probably, it was about 80 miles to get to where his brothers were. He had to basically, as a slave now, under the control of these traitors, retrace the very route that he had just taken. It probably took several days. Now, it would not surprise me, this is just my thinking, I don't have a Bible verse to say this, but it would not surprise me, looking at how things were going, if he would have gone by and perhaps even been able to see his father's tents. Now, if you were in that situation, what would you be doing? You know, I wonder if Joseph was not praying that God would send his father, or at least someone from his father's household, out to the road right as they were going by. It would have been pretty easy to arrange, would it not? And as he gets closer, and he can see the tents of his father off in the distance, I can't imagine the emotions that were going through him as almost within reachable distance is his father who would pay any sum of money to buy him back. All the household is there. He sees the tents off in the distance. He sees them get closer, and nobody is at the road. And they tents become smaller and smaller. Until probably in Joseph's mind at that time, there was no hope. Or was there hope? Whence cometh my help? The only hope for Joseph, as the tents of his father faded in the distance, the only hope was in the God of his fathers. And right then and there, as he is now a slave with no hope of deliverance, I believe that Joseph had a very important and a very special experience. He was a sent man. He was sent by God. And even though he knew the true faith, even though he had been blessed by God, even though he was a very spiritual individual before, he now recognized that his only hope possible was from the God that his father Abraham, that his grandfather Isaac, and that his father Jacob had turned to and found a refuge. And right then and there, Joseph became not just a sent man, but Joseph became a surrendered man. At that point. And it was the experience that he had on that slave train on the way to Egypt that prepared him for everything that happened later in Egypt. Would it have been easy to start to feel sorry for yourself? Would it have been easy to start to question? Why? Do we ever have some of those thoughts go through our minds? Why did this happen to me? Nobody else understands. Whatever they might be. But there on the way to Egypt, Joseph determined not just to know about the God of Israel, but to know and to make personal the God of his fathers to become his God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. This is not about Joseph, it's about his father Jacob. But I believe it illustrates very well the experience that Joseph had as all hope was lost. Jacob is in just a few hours now to meet Esau, his brother. Jacob is going to wrestle for hours with the angel of the covenant here. And we don't know his prayers when he was wrestling with the angel, but we do know his prayer recorded before. Notice Genesis 32, verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Now notice Jacob's prayer. He begins, and what does he say as he begins? The God of who? Of my father Abraham, right? Now, what was Abraham to Jacob? Grandfather. And then he says, the God of who? Of Isaac. Who is Isaac to him? His father. He says, the God of my grandfather. The God of my father. But then notice what he says. The Lord who did what? Who said unto me. Not just the God of my grandfather. Not just the God of my father. But whose God? My God. The God who spoke to me. The God that I know. And as Jacob prayed here, his prayer grew. Yes, the God of 100 and 200 years ago. Yes, the God of 50 years ago. But even more than that, the God that spoke to me, my God. And as Joseph was on his way to Egypt, with no help from anyone, his father could not help him anymore. His brothers certainly were not going to help him. Joseph determines to make the God his God, the God of his fathers, his personal God. The God that had delivered his grandfather Isaac. The God who had delivered his father Jacob. Joseph surrendered and the God of heaven became his God. And he determined then and there that he was going to strive to honor God, whatever the circumstances. Did Joseph have to deal with some circumstances? Yeah. But because of the choice, because of the decision that he made, when everything was apparently lost, when everything was apparently hopeless, because of the decision that he made then and there, God was able to use him in a mighty way. Each one of us are sent by God. Maybe we're not sent by God to Egypt. Maybe we're not sent more than 5 miles from our home. But each of us are sent by God. But if we're sent by God, if we are sent men and women, it is imperative that we are surrendered men and women as well. Because it's only the surrendered young man and young lady that God can use to the greatest degree that he desires to. We can have grown up in a Christian home or not. Our parents may be faithful followers of the God of heaven or not. But each one of us must make the God of heaven, the God that strengthened Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, our personal God. We must be surrendered to him, whatever may come. And Joseph's life is going to reveal that much more as we continue to go through it. But we must recognize that the God that we sing about, the God that we read about, must become the God that is our God, the God that we are surrendered fully and completely to. Each one of us are sent by God. God has a plan for each and every one of us, just as he did for Joseph. But we must be surrendered to the God of heaven. And we must determine to make him our God. As we look at the life of Joseph, I recognize in my life that I need to surrender more fully as Joseph did. We must determine in our hearts that we're going to surrender to him. That God has a plan for each of us individually. But we must surrender our lives, our will, our everything to him. That's the decision I want to make. Is that the decision that you want to make? Yes. Let us pray together that we may not just be sent men and women, but that we may be surrendered men and women as well. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for your love. We thank you for the experience of Joseph. And we pray that as Joseph surrendered on the way to Egypt in the midst of calamity, we pray that you will give us your grace to surrender in every situation. We know that you have sent us. May we each one be fully surrendered to you. And we pray for your blessing upon each one here. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.